Local radio station. This is Ribble FM.
I'd like to introduce you to the Backseat Driver Radio Show, a French-German racing driver, Lisa Schwartz, who is currently back in her home city of Munich. Lisa, welcome to the Backseat Radio Driver Radio Show.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Now, how did you start racing? Is it a family tradition, racing, or is it something that attracted you personally?
Yes, you could say it's a family tradition. So my dad has always worked within racing and has been racing in historic racing since 2005. So I attended my first Le Mans Classic when I was 7 years old, back in 2006.
Yeah.
And yes, I basically always came with him, watched him race and have always loved it. So I kind of started to do kart in maybe when I was about 10 years old, and then got into the start race.
Yeah. So I mean, you currently race an E-Type Jag, don't you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, a 1963 E-Type with a 3.8 liter engine.
Is it? Don't mind me asking. Is it your car? Is it a family car, or how come you drive that car?
The family car, so I always say it's my father's car, just due to that I'm racing and he allows me to race. So, but it's a family car. We actually were all there when he bought it at Goodwood in 2010 at an auction. So it's a family car.
I mean, it's one of those interesting things. I've always known the Germans to be extremely interested, extremely keen on British sports cars and such like. What is it about the cars that we make over here that is so attractive to you guys over there?
Very good question, because we do have a few nice cars as well, but I think what I love about the Jag is the attention to detail and just all the thought process and kind of blood, sweat, and tears, if you will, that goes into making these beautiful, beautiful cars. And I always love the E-Type. I love also sorts of British cars, but the E-Type just has this charming effect. It, first of all, of course, it's beautiful, and when you look under the car into the engine, it's just made with such great work of art.
Was the E-Type, when you bought it, was it already a racing car, or is it one that your father converted from road specification to racing specification?
I know it was already a racing car, so it belonged to another family, a British family, who raced it in a Jaguar-only class back in the UK, and we kind of just continue to develop.
Yeah. So, I mean, they are an interesting car to drive. I mean, the E-Type was described by Enzo Ferrari as the most beautiful car in the world. And it was one of Sir William Lyon's crowning achievements was the E-Type. But they are a car that's an interesting car to race and drive. How do you find racing it?
Well, from the outside, it looks quite, not small, but kind of gentle. But it's really not. I mean, there are harder cars to drive, but it does require some finesse, but also some kind of determination, because the car really needs to be handled well, and you really need to get to know the car, get to know how it works, because it's a very specific way of driving. And I always admired the drivers actually at Goodwood who drive on Dunlop tires, and they kind of go around the corner sliding, and that's what makes this car so fast. So it takes some time to getting used to. I wouldn't say it's that physically demanding. I mean, in a two-hour race, it kind of is. But it requires a lot of attention, if you will. So focus, and you really have to kind of form a team with the car.
Now, before you got behind the wheel of the Jaguar, you said you'd raced karts. What came between the karts and the E-Type Jaguar?
Not much, really. I did a few track days and some courses with an excellent coach, whose name is Vincent Chaffider. He's a French racing driver. And I drove with him at Le Mans, actually, on the Bugatti circuit. And I drove a Porsche, so very pasty, modern Porsche. Just to get used to a track and learn how to navigate around the track. And then I very quickly hopped into the Jag.
Now, besides Le Mans, which, according to our mutual friend Marie-Catherine Linney, is one of your favourite circuits, where do you race? Because, I mean, you cannot just do one race a year, and Europe has some fantastic circuits and some fantastic historic series.
I'm very lucky to be able to race at the Peter Rotteau events, so the organizer who does Le Mans Classic. And maybe some of the audience knows, they organize a championship. So with, I think this year it's 5 events with different classes. So I race in the 60s endurance class, and we have a full season of racing.
So what other circuits do you take in besides Le Mans?
So this year we have Dijon and then Essorine, so in Portugal, and some other French circuits. So it's Nogaro, and then in Italy we have usually Monza or Imola or Mugello. And of course we have the big classics like Spa, and we also have Paul Ricard.
Right. Now, I mean, anybody who does race knows, and anybody who doesn't race also realizes that to race, you don't just arrive and climb in a car. There's all the practice, the qualifying, but there's also the getting yourself ready. I mean, what do you do to make sure that you are ready to race?
So first of all, I like to get ready in peace. Make sure the boots are well strapped, and my suit is on, and I have my helmet ready, and everything is in order. I like to be organized, And then right before getting in the car, I have a quick chat with my team. So with my mechanics who take amazing care of the car and just know it in and out. And we just discuss kind of the strategy, the conditions that we're in, because it can quickly change from circuit to circuit. And yeah, I also do some warm-ups, which I found is quite helpful to just calm down a little, or if in case I get nervous, but it's usually okay. And yeah, and then I hop into the car, and as soon as the visor goes down, kind of don't think about anything else anymore.
For me, one thing a lot of racing drivers do is they have like an exercise regime and everything else. I mean, do you have like a daily routine you go through to make sure that you're ready to race? Because the one thing I've always said to people is, especially on the longer races, you will be surprised how tired you become, because driving a car at speed for a long time is actually a very tiring thing to do, and you've got to have got yourself to where you can actually do this.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you have to endure these 2 hours or 1 hour even, and your reactions have to stay sharp, you have to stay present, and you're under a lot of adrenaline, so you have to be able to, your body has to carry you through. So I do some strength training and conditioning, so about 3 or 4 times a week, just to, keep my body fit. And actually, it's this thing that I kind of found to be quite useful, even though a lot of people might think that historic racing maybe doesn't require as much fitness as modern racing. But these cars are still physically demanding. And we often drove in the summer. So in Le Mans, we had maybe about 45 degrees in the car. So driving in these conditions requires you to be top fit and ready. So you stay safe and you have a good race.
Now, were you saying your father owns the car? Is your father part of the team when you're racing?
Yes. So since we are driving in the 60s endurance category, so it's the 2 hour race, and we kind of share the drive. So you will do a 1 hour stint, and I will do another one. And then we also plan on doing sort of demo classic and Spa 6 hours,
which also requires sport drivers.
So how do you find having your father as your teammate, and the fact that the car belongs to your father? Does it add any extra pressure when you climb behind the wheel of the car?
I'm extra careful because it's still his, but I found it to be quite nice because we get to share this passion that he always loved racing and loved cars, and I think it makes him really happy to be able to share that with me. And I mean, he does like to give me advice and try to coach me, and maybe sometimes I'll get annoyed. We kind of learn to not get in each other's way, just give each other the necessary advice, and but it works quite well.
Because, I mean, there's got to be rivalry. I mean, any teammates, you always want to be the one that's quicker than your teammate and vice versa. How do you find that? Do you set out and think, I've got to be a little bit quicker than my father around this? I've got to put better lap times in than my father.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's, as they say, your number one rival is your teammate. But I think it's a good thing, because kind of pushing each other to be better and better. And if he can do certain lap times in the car, so can I, because it's the same car. So, I try and get the same lap times in, but he always has the saying that the day I'll be consistently faster in all the cars, then that day he'll retire. Team manager or mechanic.
Ribble FM.
I guess now it's time for me to give up. I think it's time. Got a picture of you beside me. Got your lipstick mark still on your coffee cup. Oh, yeah.
the twist of separation, you excelled at being free. Can't you find you a little room inside for me? Whatever I said, whatever I did, I didn't mean it. I just want you back for good.
Want you back.
See, I want you back for good. Whenever I'm wrong, just tell me the song and I'll sing it. You'll be right and understood.
Looking for a delightful dining experience in the heart of the Ribble Valley? Look no further than Hindelini's restaurant at Gisborne Park Estate. Open every day from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m, Hindelini's serves up mouth-watering dishes made with love and locally sourced ingredients. From English classics like fish and chips to our famous full English breakfast, there's something for everyone. Our vibrant outdoor setting with regular live music, peaceful walks around the estate after lunch, and we are dog friendly and even have water bowls and treats for them. Book your table online today and treat yourself to a culinary adventure at Hindelini's. Visit gisbornparkestate.co.uk for more information.
Here's a public service announcement on behalf of James Owl Limited.
Hello, I'm James. I want to let you know that if you've had an accident with your vehicle, no matter how big or small, I can help. All it takes is just one call.
We have over 35 years of experience and over 30 manufacturer approvals like Land Rover, Jaguar, BMW, Mercedes and many more, which means your warranty stays intact and so does your no-claims discount if it wasn't your fault, with just one call. We take care of you from day one, dealing with your insurance company, providing you with a replacement vehicle, regular updates, in fact, everything with just one call. Remember, it's your vehicle, it's your choice. Call 01200 444 555 or visit jamesout.co.uk.
Want that feel-good glow all year round? Visit Ribble Valley Tanning, Clitheroe's brand new luxury tanning salon. With the latest technology sunbeds, including lay down and stand up, you can tan comfortably and in total style. A stunning custom-built salon with the latest technology beds, free parking and open early till late. For opening times, visit ribblevalleytanning.co.uk. This is tanning done properly. Ribble Valley Tanning. Visit us today at Unit 3 Deanfield Drive, Link 59 Business Park, Clitheroe.
Summer starts at home, and at Shackleton's Home and Garden, you'll find everything to make it feel special. From beautiful outdoor furniture and stylish garden accessories to homeware, gifts, plants, and those finishing touches that turn sunny days into memorable moments. Whether you're hosting friends, relaxing in the garden, or refreshing your home for the season, Shackleton's has summer inspiration around every corner. Visit Shackleton's Home and Garden, Chapman Road, Clitheroe, and make this summer beautifully yours.
Do you want to give your home a stylish new look? Then discover Style Shutters Ribble Valley in Clitheroe. Beautiful bespoke window shutters that don't just look stunning, they help keep your home warmer in winter, cooler in summer, while giving you brilliant light control and privacy too. With a huge choice of colours, finishes and made-to-measure designs, Annabelle and Sam bring the showroom to you. For quality, style and expert local service, Google Style Shutters Ribble Valley or find us on social media.
For all your local news, weather, programming, or to listen to your favourite interviews again, check the website at ribblefm.com.
106.7 Ribble FM.
Because there's always a thing, it's like friends of mine who race and instruct, they always say that it's always interesting to discover where their pupil, who is became their teammate, is faster. In fact, Waldham says, the day that your pupil is faster than you are is the time to consider retiring.
Yes, but I think it also means that job, because you've brought him that far. So, yeah, I think you're happy to see it, that I'm doing well. And yeah, but there's always rival. We like to compete against each other.
Now, the one thing that is, and it's the same with rallying, historic racing is becoming increasingly popular. For the simple reason, people can relate to the cars that they see over modern cars. I mean, modern racing cars, especially at Le Mans. I mean, you've got LMP 1, 2 and 3, and now you've got the new hypercar series. These cars, of course, bear no resemblance whatsoever to any car you see on the road. I mean, over in Europe, how do you find historic racing? Is the popularity increasing?
Yeah, definitely, and it's very nice to see, because I remember back in 2006 or 8 when my dad started and Le Mans Classic started, there were a lot of people, but not many young people. So I especially noticed an increase in interest with younger people, younger drivers, younger fans. So yeah, it's very nice to see. And I think, as you said, it's kind of relatable for the public. And it's also, sometimes I get people coming up to me who are maybe a little older than me and who are telling me, yes, there was kind of a car that made me dream back in the day that I looked at and was a big fan of. So seeing it drive around the track is just, yeah, a beautiful thing to see. And yeah, but I do think it's becoming more and more popular, and the drivers are becoming better and better. So it's quite interesting to see it develop into a real championships, real teams who kind of work on these cars. Yeah, it's great.
Now, the big thing at the moment is, especially in England, and I conclude in mainland Europe, the encouragement of trying to get more women into racing. Now, the one thing I've always said, and regular listeners to the show will probably be fed up of hearing me say this, a racing driver is a racing driver is a racing driver. How do you find the attitude is to women racers out in mainland Europe, especially in the historics? And what are your views on these current women-only series? Because a lot of women racing drivers that I know say, well, it's all well and good and they don't mind a woman's, shall we say, championship within the race. But what are your views on women-only racing championships? Are you happy for them? Or do you regard that when you race, you should race on equal terms with men?
That's a very good question, actually. Yeah, especially regarding series like the W Series. So when it was first announced, I was a bit wary, because I thought, well, now we're separating men and women, which shouldn't be this. That's the beautiful thing, I think, about our sport, that we're able to compete against each other. And yeah, I thought, oh, maybe we're going in the wrong direction. But actually, as the series progressed, I kind of changed my mind, because the intent of this series is not to keep the women and girls in the series and to make kind of a parallel championships to things like WEC or Formula One, and make it only for women. It's kind of a way for these girls to get to know the cars without having immense costs, because of the costs that come with, which is amazing. And yeah, it kind of gives them a platform to learn and to be seen. And I think it's Jamie Chadwick is a great example. So she won the championship and then she got the opportunity to drive another series and gain popularity and maybe gain some the attention of sponsors. Yes, I think it, we shouldn't have these championships in parallel to others so that women can drive in there and just separate the genders. But I think as a to learn and to give them a platform and then allow them to progress into series that are mixed again, that for that purpose, I think it's a very good idea.
In England, there's various things in place to encourage women. Over in Germany, are there series or other organizations or anything like that that are there to encourage women into racing? Because one of the main problems with motor racing is, and it cannot be denied, racing a car is an expensive pastime. So are there things out there to try and encourage women into racing? Because not everything in racing is driving a car. There's every aspect in the world of motor racing, from the mechanics to, shall we say, members of the team and things like that. Are there things over in Germany in place to encourage women into the general sport of motorsport?
Yes. So I've seen a few kind of events happening on big race weekends. So especially in cooperation with Dare to be Different, so Susie Wolf's organization. So, yeah, just kind of workshops for girls to get involved, to change a tire and look at the team, look how it's functioning. So there, I've seen a few kind of, events like this happening, but I think not enough. I think the governing body of motorsport in Germany could maybe do more. So they have a pretty good start. So they kind of try and get little girls to attend races, watch the team dynamic, etc. But I don't think it's enough. So yeah, I've seen a few things, but there's some work to do.
Is there anything you would like to do or anything you will think of doing to get more women into racing to promote, shall we say, one thing you mentioned, like the equality of it all? Because once again, a racing driver is a racing driver. When I was out there, I can remember that there were lady drivers who you could identify them in the paddock because you could see them. But when you're actually out on the circuit, the only thing you see in front is a racing car. And when you look in your rear view mirrors, the only thing you see is a racing car. But, I mean, what would you do to encourage more women into it? And to maybe reduce the cost, because we've just said it is an expensive sport.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that kind of hinders a lot of girls from entering the sport because of the high cost. And also, as you mentioned before, there's a lot of other areas of expertise besides driving. So being a mechanic, an engineer. So I think, doing these kind of days for girls to come to the track, so maybe get some people together who work in motorsport and go into schools or into, these things, talk about the sport, maybe get them interested, and allow them to have maybe access to a race and show them around so they can kind of have a day within the paddock and someone showing them around, explaining everything. So also I think I can't remember the name of the organizer, but there was a track day for women actually at the Salzburg Ring. It was done by a German organizer, and they had a driving instructor, a woman, so who was an instructor for Porsche and some other female drivers, and they kind of had a track day for women to get to know the circuit and just have their first experience on a track. So I think these kind of things are nice as well, just for them to kind of enter this world and see what it's all about.
Now, besides what you're doing, I mean, where you are young, you told us when you started looking, what you started watching, etc. So it's not difficult to work out how old you are, though I won't actually say how old you are. It's not the dumb thing to say how old the lady is. I mean, where do you see your racing going? Because at some point, as you said, when you start to consistently beat your father, he will retire. Do you have ambitions to move on in racing, or do you just wish to stop within historics?
I thought about this a lot, actually. So when I was, I think, 19, I kind of realized how the system worked and how you could progress in modern racing cars. Only that already caught on to that a little earlier on, and I thought about going into modern racing cars, maybe single seaters, but I kind of sticked with historics because it was the most convenient thing, because my dad was already in the sport. So yeah, and actually I think it's great for gaining experience because it's an easy way for me to access motorsport, but I am actually thinking about the opportunities that could present themselves and maybe moving to some more modern cars. I mean, I would love to move to W Series just to get the experience. As I said, it's a great kind of starting point to get experience without having huge costs. But I kind of... The competition is really tough. So yeah, I think one day I'll look into different areas of motorsport, but for now I'm sticking with historics.
Now, the other interesting thing is it was something that happened with me. I never had any urge to drive anything other than sports cars. Do you want to stay with sports cars, or would you like to look at single seaters, or how would you see your career going?
No, I would definitely look at single seaters if the opportunity presents itself, or actually you have to look for the opportunity sometimes in motorsport, but I would like to at least give it a try, maybe have a kind of some days of schooling in a single seater. I think you can learn a lot as well in it, but I also get the appeal of only driving sports cars. It just has a really kind of charming a charm to it. I really...
The voice of the valley.
Your valley connection.
Ribble FM.
I'm no one to stick around. One strike and you're out, baby. Don't care if I sound crazy, but you never let me down. No, no, that's why when the sun's up, I'm staying. Still laying in your bed saying, ooh, 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 ooh.
Get to know you better. Kinda hope we're here forever. There's nobody on these streets. If you told me that the world's ending, ain't no other way that I can spend it.
We got all that we need here tonight.
I
locked the door.
The Voice of the Valley, 106.7 Ribble FM.
Ever feel like creating a website is like trying to juggle while riding a unicycle? Well, juggle no more. Introducing 50-to-1 Media. We make the designing of your website as easy as pie. We offer complete web development and implementation. And we'll make sure Google loves your website as much as you do. From domain purchasing to hosting, turning your site into a Ribble Valley rockstar, we've got you covered. So why not drop in for a brew and let's chat about how 50-to-1 Media can turn your web woes into web wows. Visit 50to1media.co.uk, because who needs a unicycle when you have us? That's 50, the number 2 and the number 1.co.uk.
Thinking of a new kitchen? From the timeless craftsmanship of an in-frame kitchen to the clean contemporary look of a modern design, you'll find them both at Ramsbottom Kitchen Company. And with 26 colours to choose from, you can give your kitchen the wow factor. Visit our showroom and let us bring your new kitchen to life with our free design and planning service. Your dream kitchen, easy as RKC. Just search Ramsbottom Kitchen Company.
Are you tired of sky-high housing costs? Are you ready for a change of scenery? At Three Rivers, our rural caravan park is the perfect solution for those seeking an affordable, peaceful and beautiful place to call home. Nestled in the heart of the countryside, our park offers exceptional facilities, including a cafe, swimming pool and function suite. You can even choose your own plot and specify the style of home that best suits your needs. Don't miss this opportunity to join our thriving community and enjoy the best of both worlds, the convenience of modern living with the charm and serenity of rural life. Contact us today to learn more and schedule a tour. Three Rivers, the perfect home is waiting for you.
Looking for a delightful dining experience in the heart of the Ribble Valley? Look no further than Hindelini's restaurant at Gisborne Park Estate. Open every day from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Hindelini's serves up mouth-watering dishes made with love and locally sourced ingredients. From English classics like fish and chips to our famous full English breakfast, there's something for everyone. Our vibrant outdoor setting with regular live music, peaceful walks around the estate after lunch, and we are dog friendly and even have water bowls and treats for them. Book your table online today and treat yourself to a culinary adventure at Hindelini's. Visit gisbornparkestate.co.uk for more information.
Hey, have you lost weight?
No, I've just had my bra fitted properly, so everything is right where it should be. Remember, any good outfit starts with the right foundations. If your boobs aren't up where they should be, being supported and making you feel comfortable, then nothing is going to look or feel right. You wouldn't put a size 7 foot in a size 3 shoe now, would you? Perfect Fit by Carol, with more sizes than you can imagine, and fitting so easy. There's no tape measures involved. It's practically magic. You'll wonder why you didn't visit sooner. Visit them on King Street, Clitheroe, or check out their Facebook page. Perfect Fit by Carol, getting you your perfect fit.
Ribble FM.
Live and local.
106.7 Ribble FM.
Well, I think it's always the thing with sports cars that sports car drivers tend not to be as universally famous as single-seater racing drivers, especially Formula One. But if you look at it, as you said, there's the allure of sports car racing. I've always been of a great belief that sports car racing drivers are the true racing drivers, because there's a lot more to it than racing a single-seater, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of true. That's why I love endurance racing, actually, because instead of just sprint races, because first of all, it's not only about speed, it's about, well, endurance. And yeah, there's a lot more going on, a lot more aspects, not to take anything away, of course, from sprint races or single seaters, because it's incredibly complex and just evolving more and more. But yeah, that's what kind of fascinates me about endurance. It's just it's kind of multifaceted, and yeah. And also what I wanted to say is single seaters is great, and the cars are very impressive, but what I like about the sports car is the aspect of the car, which is often beautiful to look at as well, because single seater, they kind of all look alike. As well, they're beautiful, but I just kind of think of the 24 Hours of Le Mans, standing there and seeing an Aston Martin, a Porsche, a Corvette, and all of them having their unique kind of trait. And I think, as someone who likes to look at the car and see the beauty in it, that's kind of the appeal.
And the other thing is, if you move into modern sports cars or modern single-seaters, you will then have to experience aerodynamics, which racing historics is something that you won't especially do with an E-type. I mean, racing E-types have tiny little winglets on them and things like that. But have you been able to drive a car with what you would call a full aerodynamic package on it?
Not yet, though. Not really a full package. So that's still something that I still have to experience. That's why I mentioned maybe doing a kind of a course on a single seater, just to get that feeling, which is I believe incredibly different to driving the Jag. And the closest thing that I will be able to drive to a car with aerodynamics is a GT40, so which we found out is incredibly advanced for its time and age.
She's ran incredibly fast. They were the first cars to achieve the truly big 200-mile-an-hour speeds down Mulsanne, although regrettably the Mulsanne straight suddenly had two chicanes put into it to stop people going that fast.
Exactly. So that car has, incredible cornering speed, and you can really see that they really put in the work in terms of aerodynamics and thinking about how can we make this car go as fast as we can on that massive Le Mans circuit. So that's the closest thing that I'd still like to drive a modern car and just experience thing. And it's also fascinating how you can improve the car, work with a team who can make little tweaks and adjustments to make it faster. So that aspect is also very fascinating.
Excuse me. Now, Le Mans is regarded as the race. It is, in my opinion, it is the ultimate motor race. It is for a lot of people. Would you have ambitions to move from racing at historic Le Mans, classic Le Mans, to actually racing in what you would call the modern big 24-hour race?
That question is actually spot on, because I told my parents once, actually, my one big dream in life would be to race at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. It's just, I've seen it multiple times. I always loved it. Kind of that magic of Le Mans that everybody tell you about. And that would actually be one of my goals.
Because, I mean, the preparation, etc. I mean, you follow in illustrious footsteps, because I have had Le Mans 24-hour Le Mans drivers on the show, and a great friend of mine who's been a guest more than once has actually won it three times. I mean, I often say to them, after you've won the Le Mans 24-hour, the modern one, where do you go from there? If you were able to drive there, and maybe hopefully one day win it, where would you see your career going from there? Because in many ways, what else is there left to do?
That's a very good question. I think it's such an event and such a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I think you need to kind of separate it from everything else you're doing, because this event has such a magnitude and such a meaning and history behind it. So, I think it's hard to kind of top it. So I think it's kind of the pinnacle of any racing driver's career who does endurance racing to win Le Mans. And I think nothing can beat that. But as I said, it's kind of such a unique event that you kind of have to regard it as this thing, as a single.
Now, you've mentioned your mother. I mean, what's your mother's attitude? Not only does she have a husband who races cars, she now has a daughter who races cars. What's your mother's and the rest of your family's attitude to yourself and your father racing?
Well, luckily, she was kind of prepared to see my father racing, because she does tend to get a little nervous, which I think is completely normal. You kind of a person you love get in a massive machine and drive around at an incredible speed. So but luckily she was already used to it. But she she's very happy for me that I get to do this, and she loves that we're doing it as a family team.
What do your friends and work colleagues make of the fact that when you're not at work, your weekends tend to be spent racing an E-Type Jaguar?
It's always really funny when I tell people that I race cars, because it's such a niche little hobby. Yes, so no, a few of my friends also love cars, so it's always great. We get to chat with them about it, and sometimes I get to bring people to the track, and we have some lovely weekends together. And I actually I'm currently doing an internship, because I'm a student still, my work colleagues always are slightly confused but also very enthusiastic, and they think it's really great.
Because that's the one thing, and a lot of people, when I've taken them to a track, etc., and they see the ladies get out of the car, the one thing they suddenly realise is, after you've been behind the wheel of a racing car for quite a while, the one thing you do not look when you get out is glamorous anymore, because it is a hot, a very hot, sticky environment to be in.
Absolutely, because it was so hot, I just came out of the car, and I was as red as my racing suit, so, no, we don't look glamorous, that they miss. It only goes to show that it's a real sport, and when you get that helmet on, it's quite intense.
Now one question that's always interesting to ask a racing driver: what do you drive normally? What's your normal road car?
So actually I'm staying kind of true to the British technical structures, because I drive a Mini Cooper, which is also green. And other than that, we also have some old road cars. So not only do we drive them on the track, but we also drive them on the road. I get to take those out on the weekends or when it's sunny outside.
Are you ever tempted, if you're out on the roads normally, to, shall we say, put a male driver in his place if he tries to do something to you on round the roads around Munich, because Munich has some fantastic roads around it.
That's very true. I do enjoy going. We have some great lakes and just beautiful sights in nature. So and the roads that lead there are really, really fun to kind of drive within the speed limit, of course. So it's fun to experiment a little at whenever people kind of try and comp me, it exists, especially in Germany, I think, because we have on our highways we could go as fast as we want, so people do like to get into pretend racing driver mode. But usually either I'll be just as fast, or I'll let them go and think, you don't know that I actually drive on track as well. So,
I mean, that's the great thing about the Bavarian Autobahns. Other parts of Germany have speed limits on them during the course of the day, etc. But as soon as you get into Bavaria, they more or less forget about those, and you're absolutely flat out on the Autobahns at times.
Absolutely, I think it's because they built such great BMWs that they want people to get the full experience. So it's quite unique, and but it's fun. You get places very.
Now the one thing is, like when I was a lad, as such, I had my heroes, that mainly being the late great Jim Clark. Of who was the racing driver or racing drivers that you look up to the most as the famous drivers?
So just to name the kind of classics first, I always adored Michael Schumacher. Of course, being half German, I grew up watching Formula One or when he was driving, and just being absolutely fascinated. And I always, as a kid, I loved Ferrari. I had a Ferrari cap, and always thought it was great. I loved going to Monza, so seeing him win in the Ferrari was quite something. And then in terms of female drivers as well. I always admired Michel Mouton, so the French rally driver, especially since she faced quite a some criticism and some really tough competition from other drivers, and she just proved them wrong on the rally course. And I think she has an amazing tenacity, and I really admire her.
And of course, being German, of course, or half German, there was the regrettably now late great Sabine Schmitz, who a driver I was never fortunate enough to meet, but a lady racing driver who was absolutely unbelievable behind the wheel, especially around the Nordschleife.
Yes, it's incredible. We actually talked about her during the weekend because we were talking about the Nürburgring, and it's incredible. I think she could take any car around that track and put in an incredible lap. So yes, that's quite something. And the Nürburgring is, I think, one of the toughest circuits there is. So yeah, and just her tenacity and her driving skills are quite admirable. And I think it's great they named a corner after her. I think it was last week. So yeah, that made me very happy that she gets to be remembered.
I mean, for British television, UK television, she actually set a record lap for a Ford Transit van. So she was capable of driving anything around that circuit.
Exactly. Which is quite... That kind of proves that you have understood the circuit, and that it's the driver that makes the difference. Yeah.
Lisa Schwartz, thank you very much for joining me on the Backseat Drive Radio Show. I hope one day that we actually get to see you driving transit vans around the Nordschleife, and all being well, climbing to the top of the podium for Le Mans, the big one, the big 24. But once again, it's been a pleasure chatting to you, Lisa. Thanks very much for joining me on the Backseat Driver Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lovely chat, and I love coming on your show. So thank you very much.
106.7 Ribble FM.
She works the nights by the water. She's gone astray, so far away from her father's daughter. She just wants her life for a baby. All on her own, no one will come. She's got to save him. She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you. She tells him, your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life. You're gonna safe when she says, she tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Listen to Ribble FM anytime, anywhere. Download our dedicated smartphone app. Go to ribblefm.com.
Flowers in hand, waiting for me. Every word in poetry won't call me by name, only baby. The more that you give, the less that I need. Everyone says I look happy when it feels right.
Down so